This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Welcome to the Christian War Room, and welcome to another session here in the Christian War Room. And today we're gonna be looking at some of the stuff that's going on in the world. And again, by the time you're listening to this, it's probably looking back. So I'm looking at the 27th of May, 2018. I just came across it today, and it's really interesting. And it's time to look at the signs of the time to see what is going on here. And some of the stuff is really disturbing. You know, what we see now. Something happened in England. Actually, I was totally unaware of it. I was at the time in the north of England, and the north of England was totally unaffected by this, and it all happened in the south of England. And again, I'm just looking at some of the pictures which are there, and what we got is a massive barrage of lightning strikes. Lightning strikes, which were counted, were in a period of 4 hours, 15,000 lightning strikes in just a period of 4 hours in the south of England. And let's have a look. I'm just scanning through the pictures here. It's quite disturbing, actually, and you wonder what is going on. I'm just going to read through the news article, and we're going to see of what has been happening. It looks like the lightning strikes went over to Ireland. And we know what's happened there in Ireland. Just a few days ago, the Ireland has had a referendum and abortion has been legalized, but the brunt of it was in the south of England. Okay, let me just have a look at some of the news articles which are here. And it says here, I'm quoting from the BBC, around 15,000 lightning strikes were recorded in 4 hours on Saturday night. In Stansted Airport, there were reported delays on Sunday morning after the lightning strike briefly left its aircraft fueling system unavailable. So it suggests there has been quite a massive lightning strike in there. The Met Office issued a yellow warning. What else have we got? Firefighters worked on the blaze for hours, so there were a couple of houses which got a direct strike and were set alight. People remarked they'd never seen a storm quite like this and said the flashes were stunning. And I've got lots of pictures here, and I'm sort of looking at these flashes, and it's just going all over the sky, and the sky is in a deep, dark blue color. It's quite scary when you look at this. I'm not quite sure what time it happened. Let's have a look whether we can see this. As I said, like, I was in the north, I was out and about. I didn't notice anything. It's just a Saturday night. Now, at the moment, the sun goes down quite late, so we've still got daylight till about 9 o'clock, almost 9:30. And I'm not quite sure when it goes down in the south. It may be a little bit later, but it's quite amazing to see all this stuff. A little bit later, we have got lightning strikes in India as well, and that was on the 30th. Let's have a look. And we've got thunderstorms in India, and it says that the lightning kills 50 people. Yeah, so we haven't got those figures in the UK, but I assume it's the monsoon time in India. That's on the 30th of May. That's today. At least 50 people are reported to have died amid heavy thunder and lightning that battered parts of northern India on Tuesday, officials said. So that was yesterday. High-speed winds and lightning strikes devastated many villages, bringing down walls and leaving dozens injured. The eastern state of Bihar has been worst hit, 20 confirmed death due to lightning. And it goes on. A few days before that, we had a flooding in Maryland, where I'm not sure how many people got injured there. Let's have a look, see whether we can call this up on the news. What we find, though, is that we see the secular press, they all blame it on you driving your car. That is a fault. whether there's any link to it or not. There's certainly not a proven link. And we've got Maryland, and we've got reports from 7 hours ago. And let's have a look whether we can get any news. So that was yesterday as well. So we got massive pictures with cars turned upside down. And says here, the waters have receded after flash flooding in Ellicott City in Maryland, revealing the trail of damage left behind. A man who was swept away while attempting to help his local woman remains missing. So again, really, really bad pictures from Maryland. Okay, we carry on. Water ranges flooded Maryland streets, and we've got Birmingham as well. So that's on the 27th of May. It's probably part of this this weather report, but we've got the storms putting certain parts of Birmingham underwater, and you can see that streets are turning to rivers, and it's quite a disturbing sight when you see this. Okay, what are we to make of this? It doesn't really fit into this, but the scripture talks about that the earth is reeling like a drunkard, which suggests that the axis, which we have, the tilt, is getting a little bit out of position, that something happens. Something happens, and what we find is that that things are no longer the way they were before. Everything is going to be unhinged. Weather patterns are not right. Things go upside down. We get storms like we've never seen them before. We had tornadoes in Europe recently. This is just a few days ago. And again, this is all sort of just coming together. And let's have a look and see whether I can call up the news for that. We had a tornado in Germany. And again, I cannot extreme near. So this is all in there. I'm just looking for the tornado in Germany. And that was on the 70th of May. A rare tornado ripped through western Germany. Tornado has passed through western Germany, damaging houses, injuring at least two. The German Weather Service described it as a moderate level one on the Fujita scale. So a tiny tornado, but I've never seen anything like it in Germany. I cannot remember any news that there was anything on the scale of a tornado in Germany. You could see the touchdown, and there were pictures of the touchdown and everything. And it did cause, apparently, a lot of destruction. And this is all within the space of about 2 weeks where we see all this stuff. And it's quite disturbing, to say the least. I'm just looking for it to come up. It's not coming up here, so it's okay. We're just gonna leave it at that. Now the thing is, how shall we interpret this? You know, all the stuff that's going on here. How shall we sort of interpret this? What shall we think about it? 6th of May, we've got cars swept away in Turkey floods. Yeah, so that's the next one. So we've got a bad weather in Turkey. And it's so bad, and I can see the pictures here. And we are only talking, again, it's about a period of 2 weeks, and that's the 6th of May. And a flash flood, cars are flushed away, and that's just after a downpour of heavy rain. And again, it's sort of unheard of. Not unheard of, but it wasn't sort of all cramped up in a couple of weeks. You got one in a decade. But not, you know, we've now got 2 weeks period. And it seems that the whole planet is going unhinged, that nothing is as it used to be. You know, there are little crazy things going on all over the place. Very crazy. Very, very crazy. Very, very crazy. Okay. Let's stop the... I'm just looking at some videos here. And let's stop this. And we need to ask ourselves, how do we need to interpret this? Is this a judgment of God? I mean, Jesus talked about earthquakes. He talked about plagues, pestilences, and all sorts of stuff. And one of the things which I'm firmly convinced of is that we are talking about the birth pangs. Rumors, wars and rumors of wars. We've got earthquakes. We've got disasters, we've got famines, plagues, and all sorts of stuff. And that's one of the things we are hearing. Little information is also made known about this year's flu epidemic, which, you know, went worldwide and cost a lot of people to be off work and so on. I'm not quite sure what the death rate is, but a lot of the stuff I would imagine is going to be hushed up as well. So there's a lot of stuff going on and a lot of stuff we can see here as well. It reminded me of one story, and I've got this up here, and I just want to read you this story. And it's about a minister in England in the Anglican Church. The guy's called David Jenkins, and he died recently. He died in 2016, and he was 91 years old. And he was ordained as a Bishop of Durham, the Bishop of Durham. Now, the whole thing was very contentious. Again, you know, when you look at Christianity, there are a whole variety of opinions, and people have got different ideas, and they look at different things. But when we look at Christianity, there are a couple of things which are pretty much the same throughout the spectrum of Christianity. One of them is that the virgin birth, you know, that Jesus was born by a virgin. Okay, so he was the Son of God. That's one, yeah. The next one is just the resurrection. Resurrection is very, very important. You know, without the resurrection, there's no gospel. Yeah. Then another thing which is very important is the crucifixion and the death of Christ and the shedding of his blood, and that he was dead and still resurrected. And then we've got the ascension. So these are the things which are very, very important, yeah, in any Christian doctrine. And it doesn't matter whether you go to the Russian Orthodox, the Greek Orthodox, the Catholic, the Lutheran, various smaller denominations like the Methodists, the Hutterites, the Anabaptists. Doesn't matter where you go, they all pretty much preach the same thing on these things. And these are the tenets which nobody really messes about with. Yeah, nobody really messes about with. But we all take this as granted. And again, if you mess about with these tenets, then the gospel becomes invalid. All it is just like a nice story, a little bit like Snow White or something like that. But it's not the power of God that is revealed therein, which can literally save you from sin and give you eternal life. But it's something else. Okay, now let's go to Jenkins. And Jenkins made quite a furore when he appeared on television, and he said that, effectively said, he chose his words very carefully, but he effectively said that the resurrection wasn't real, but it was just something in people's minds, and that, I quote here, but a series of experiences that gradually convinced people that Jesus' life, power, purpose, and personality were actually continuing. That was his resurrection. So it wasn't physically resurrected, but it was sort of a spiritual thing, you know, that he was such a good guy that whatever he stood for, just was picked up by the people and by Christians and some sort of benevolent blah-de-blah philosophy, yeah. Right. Quite shocking. So that was there. About the virgin birth, apparently he put some doubt on it as well, and he said it's just a story. And he said, I wouldn't put it past God to arrange a virgin birth if he wanted, but I don't think he did. This is what Jenkins said, quote. Okay, now this guy is a minister in the Anglican Church, or was a minister in the Anglican Church. He was an authority. He was a theology teacher at a university. I think he was in Cambridge. Let me see. Can I find this here? In Oxford, I think he was, yeah. He taught university, he read theology, he taught at university, and he was sort of bringing up the next generation of theologians, you know, guiding people in the right way. And he denied the virgin birth and the resurrection, de facto. Yeah. So for him, it's just sort of a mythological something. No, my friends, if there isn't the power of God in the resurrection, and we always have to remember what was happening in the first three centuries, people were ready to die for the faith. People were ready to be persecuted, to be thrown in front of lions, and to face death they wouldn't do this for some story, for some Snow White and Seven Dwarfs story. You know, a guy who was very benevolent and who was good and nice, they wouldn't go to that extreme. There was more than that. People knew that the power that raised Jesus from the dead will raise them from the dead as well. They knew that he rose from the dead, that he is alive, that he ascended into heaven, that that the power of God is there right now, and that it'll lead them to eternal life. They knew this, and they knew that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. But Jenkins, yeah, David Jenkins, didn't know this, and didn't subscribe to it, but he, you know, described it more or less as a mythology. Okay, now, we've got this problem, yeah? We've got this church, yeah? And we've got this guy who's been ordained as a minister, and he starts talking stuff like that. My thinking is what they should do is they should say, look, Mr. Jenkins, it's very nice that you know, offered your service for this time, for all these years to the Anglican Church. I think at this point, you know, at this junction, you know, after you go public with this and you deny Christ, we should really relieve you of your duties and send you back home, you know, get a job as an accountant or something like that, but leave the church alone. Don't have anything to do with the church. And if you wish to do so, make up your own church in which you can preach that there isn't really a Jesus and there isn't really a resurrection, there isn't really a virgin birth, and there isn't really a gospel, yeah, as such. And this is really what they should say to him. Now, what did the Anglican Church do? They ordained him as a bishop of Durham. So he became a bishop. So, you know, more money, more esteem, more everything. And 3 days after his ordination as a bishop, let me have a look. I've got the dates here somewhere. And I can't find it. It's always the case when you're looking for it. It's just evading you. I had it right in front of me. And it says here, 3 days after his consecration as bishop, on 6 July 1984, York Minster was struck by lightning, resulting in a disastrous fire, which some interpreted as a sign of divine wrath at Jenkins' appointment. Yeah. And again, it's just a joke. How can he appoint a guy? You should sack him. And you should send him, you know, make up his own religion or something. If he doesn't subscribe to the basic concepts of Christianity. Yeah. On the contrary, he denies them, and with that, he's denied his faith de facto. And at that point, he should just say bye-bye, you know, go. And they didn't. They made him a bishop, and that was the wrath of God. Okay. Was it the wrath of God? Personally, I believe yes. Yeah. It was just a sign, you know. These guys decided, we know, and, you know, he's our brother or whatever they're going to say. You know, he's a nice fellow. Let's make him a bishop. And I think God just, I believe that this was a divine statement, that God is not pleased with this appointment and that this was a big mistake. And to be fair, the Anglican Church is in big decline, has been ever since. People don't take him serious anymore. I mean, if you have got a Bible, everybody can read the Bible. The Bible has got a fairly straightforward concept. But then these guys come along and they need to change everything to try and align it more with the world's understanding of or with the secular understanding of the world. And instead of sticking to their guns and, you know, following whatever the Bible says, these guys have just been, you know, abandoning one thing after the other. Started with the ordination of women, then they carried on with gay rights. Yeah, again, the Bible clearly negates it. Corinthians says, you know, some of you. Paul talks about, you know, the whole gay issue in the letter to the Corinthians. And he says, look, you know, these people are not, and he's not just saying, you know, gay people, but greedy people, thieves, murderers, and so on. They are not inheriting the kingdom of God. And he says, but some of you were such. So very, very clear, you know, the gospel is for murderers, for the greedy, for the gay, for everybody else. But that's what you were. You are something new. You are renewed in your spirit, and you are renewed to a better way and a better life. And again, Jenkins doesn't subscribe to that. He was one of the first priests within the Anglican Church who was blessing gay relationships. And I'm sure, you know, when all the civil partnership stuff came up, he was, you know, doing his bit as well to try and promote it. So basically just a very anti-Christian, almost anti-Christian agenda he was pursuing within the church, and the result was that lightning, that York Minster was struck with lightning. Very interesting story from the 80s, and I sometimes wonder whether whatever happened in London is just a sign. You know, something is about to happen. We are on the edge of something great, something big. And this something great, something big might be the judgment of God upon this nation and upon other nations as well. What is the message here? You know, is it, you know, taking some perverse sense of pleasure and, you know, disaster is coming on all you sinners? No, it's not. It's a message of repentance. Yeah. We should repent. We should seek God and turn around and go back to the basics. You know, go back to what the Bible says. And first of all, as Christians, we should repent on behalf of our nations, pray and intercede for the nations we are living in. We have heard there's some terrible stuff going on in India. It's been in England has been struck very badly. The east coast of America, like in Maryland, has been struck badly. And that is just in the last couple of weeks. Turkey has been struck badly. And obviously, we don't need to talk about, you know, all the trouble zones in the world, like Syria, Libya, and other places where things are going really, really badly. And we need to seek God. We need to just pray that, you know, repent on behalf of our nations and seek the face of God on behalf of them. And then the next thing is we should, you know, we should seek to, you know, pray for the gospel to be preached and to reach out to people in those parts, in our countries, in our nations. Yeah. We don't know when the judgment is coming, if it's coming, and how strong it's going to be coming. We have got the warnings in the sky. We have got plenty of warnings. And I think at the moment we are just living on borrowed time. Yeah, where God says, just one more day to see what people are doing. Maybe they're turning around. And I think this is what's happening in the heavenlies. And we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared for what is going to come. So, you know, brace yourself, pick up the challenge, and seek God on behalf of your nation. You know, that there will be an extended time of grace, that there will be a time when people will just, you know, render their hearts unto God, where they will seek Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior, and where they will just repent from all the stuff they have done wrong. And when I look at our generation today, I mean, first commandment may be the biggest, you know, that you should only worship God, that you should only have one God, that you should love the Lord your God beyond all things with all your mind, all your heart, and all your soul. And when I look at our nations, when I look at the indifference towards God, which I see in Europe, which I see also in other nations as well, the indifference which is there, it kind of sickens me, yeah, and it hurts me, and I feel sorry for these people. And I think this is the problem as well. People like Jenkins, you know, and maybe this is just the ruse of the enemy, that people like David Jenkins, you know, who stand up, you know, as a voice of the church, and at the same time deny the very basic concepts of the church, you know, namely the virgin birth, the resurrection, and with that, the power of salvation, you know, Christ has. Christ was just like a good fellow, and we should look at him and be good as well. That is pretty much the message. Okay, I'm going to just make one point. I on Sunday, I went to a church in Brilling, and I got talking to one. It was just a normal Anglican church, a cathedral, and I was talking to one of the guys there, and we sort of looked at talking about the apostasy and how church attendance has gone down, and people are no longer bothered about this. And he made a point, and it kind of, I'm sure he didn't mean it that way, but it sounded sort of very, very, like, there was somebody in church, you know, on one of those things like a wedding, and he said, what have I got to do with this church? You know, what is this Christian thing to do with me? And he said to him, look, you know, you're a Christian, sort of, you go out and you help somebody, and there's, you know, somebody who is in need and you help them, like the Samaritan, that's a Christian thing, you're doing something Christian. And that was pretty much his message, you know. Wasn't a message of, look, you need to sort yourself out and get right with Jesus. If you don't, you're going to end up in hell. That wasn't the message, but it was just, oh, you know, no, it's all about being good and being nice, you know, the nicey-nicey stuff. My friends, don't fool yourself. The Bible says that in that day many will come and stand before Jesus and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and that? Didn't we drive out demons, heal the sick, you know, do all sorts of stuff? And Jesus will just say, away from me, you doers of iniquity. And then he says something which is quite strong. And he says, I never knew you. Jesus didn't know them. He never knew them. They had nothing to do with him. They were just doing stuff for Jesus, or they were doing stuff, you know, they were cultural Christians. And they were doing some stuff, but they didn't know Jesus. My friend, we are running out of time here. What I want to encourage you in the Christian War Room is to really get to know Jesus. You know, ask him, invite him in your life. Revelation talks about that he is standing at the door of the heart, and he is knocking. And if we open the door and let him in, he will make a home. He will come in and he'll make a home. And this is, I think, what we need to do, and what I really want to encourage you is just invite Jesus Christ into your heart. It all sounds very theological, very strange. You know, you can have fellowship with God through the Holy Spirit, but you can only do this if you are washed by the blood of Christ. That means if you have repented and you trust in Jesus, that his deed on the cross, dying on the cross, that he shed his blood for your sins. If you trust in that and you repent of all your sins, you throw them away, you don't want them, you reject them, then you can be washed and you can be cleaned and you can become a child of God and you can, you know, be a new creation. And 2 Corinthians talks about it like the old is gone, and see, you know, lo, behold, see, have a look, everything is new. And that is so very important. I want to encourage you to, in these days and in these times, if everything is sort of picking up, and I think we are just on the edge of the abyss, yeah. And it's like this weekend I've been to the seaside, and there are some cliffs at the seaside, and you can go right to the edge, and it could break down any time, and you could fall down 10, 20 meters, it could kill you, or it could, you know, severely injure you. But and eventually the edge is going to go as well. And what I feel what's happening is that we are pushed right to the edge, and we cannot go back. There's no way of going back. And all it needs is just one wave to wash away the soil underneath the edge, and then everything is going to come to a collapse. We all know it's going to happen, and I think most people, you know, even secular people, have got an understanding that this is what is going to take place at any time. But we sort of try and brush it away and think, oh, no, it cannot be. You know, we carry on with our comfy life, and everything has to go on like normal, yeah. And that's what we say to ourselves. But my friend, it's going to come to a climax, and it's time to get off. And I mean, if I use this image, what I see is there's somebody with a lift, yeah, the scissor lift, right on the edge of the cliff. He comes up with a scissor lift, and he tells the people, get on this lift, because this cliff is going to break down sooner or later. Come on, get on this lift, and you can get off, and you don't have to fear the cliff breaking down. You will safely be let down to the ground, and you will not fall, and you will not suffer any harm. And people just say, no, you know, this lift doesn't look safe enough. I don't know. I don't trust this lift. I don't know whether it's going to work. I better stand here because this is solid ground. Not realizing that underneath everything is washed away. And it's going to go. It's going to go sooner or later. My friend, come to Jesus. Call upon the name of Jesus and be saved. Lord, I pray, Father, for our listeners. I pray that you will open eyes and hearts to understand. I pray, Father, and I repent on behalf of the nations of all the sin that's being committed by us in Europe, by people in America. And I pray, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us our sins, our offenses against you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.